Good morning again. Congratulations to all the Dookie Young Scholarship winners. To all of you, my pompous children, just for being in the presence of God one more time. Amen. I want to talk today something that is literally permeating not just our society, but the world. And it's called division. There's a lot of division, bro. There's a lot of divisive things happening in our world today. And literally, in certain cases, it's polarizing certain segments of society to the point where they're looking for answers. My prayer is that they will look to the church, which is you, and they will see your example, and they will begin to follow. Amen? And how we respond to all of these dynamics that are going on in our world today. The dynamics that are of politics. Everybody's talking about the election coming up in November. You're seeing this side and that side. And of course, you can't get around race these days. White, black, Hispanic, you know, all of this going on with the movements that are happening. COVID's dividing people. Certain people think that certain people should be doing certain things. Certain people should think somebody else should be doing other things. And social justice and all these things. And everybody's got all these opinions about what everybody else is supposed to be doing. And God only told me to take care of one person. And that's me. He told me to make sure I'm living right.
Amen.
And everybody else, guess what? Have to give an account for what they do. And I got to a point where I'm not going to be judging people about what they are doing and what they're not doing. You know why? Because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I know for a fact that my opinions are skewed. And I don't really know what a whole lot of folk ought to be doing. But I know what I ought to be doing. And that's lifting up the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I think if we get to a point where we get to do that right, some of that division will fall to the wayside. But even if it don't, at least you know one thing, that you are sitting right with God. And that's what I want to talk about today. That's why I read John 17. John 17 is not something that's not able to be accomplished. What I want you to understand is that when Jesus prayed it, it was already accomplished. All he wants us to do is to walk in that oneness.
Amen.
And stop looking for things that will divide us.
Yeah.
And look for the things that will bring us together in Christ. And I believe it all starts with how you walk. Amen. And how you walk. And so if you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to lift up a verse of scripture for you. We're going to give you 3 points. You know, I got to give you 3 points. And I'm going to take my seat. And I'll be finished the day before this sanctuary even cools off. Amen. Just want to let y'all know, don't get too comfortable today. Because I'm going to do one of those drive-bys. I'm going to hit it and I'm going to get up out of here. Somebody might not like what I say to them. Because it don't fit their criteria for wanting to be everybody else to be like them. Ephesians 4. Just 3 verses of scripture. It says this, ESV. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you, beg you, plead with you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager, endeavoring to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen?
Amen.
Just want to talk about walking right. Amen?
Amen.
Learning how to walk right. You know, there are some men and women who understand what their role is in their position, and they don't deviate from it. Let me give you an example of what they do every day of the week. For 8 hours, they prepare their uniform and their mind for the duty at hand. Every day for their duty, they get a fresh haircut. I wouldn't need that if I was with them. And when they are on duty, they don't vary from their command. Not one single step. For every step they take, no matters. No matter what the weather, no matter the hour of the day, no matter the day of the week, no matter the number of people who are watching them, or if nobody is watching them at all. You've seen them in the pictures probably hundreds and hundreds of times. I'm talking about the men and the women who guard the tomb of the unknown in Arlington Cemetery. Yeah, the members of the 3rd United States Infantry Regiment, the United States Army, the men and women who guard the tomb of the unknowns, they do their job right. Every second. For every minute of every day since July 2nd, 1937, the old guard has stood guard, and there is nothing casual about the way they do their job in Arlington. When a sentinel comes on duty, they walk exactly 21 steps across the tomb, representing the 21-gun salute of the highest honor given to any military or foreign dignitary. When they turn, they face the tomb, and they remain in the position for 21 seconds. They turn again, and they walk 21 steps across the tomb, and when they complete that short journey, they stop, they turn toward the tomb, they pause for 21 seconds. Over and over and over again, they repeat the same function, the same process until their shift is completed. When the job is done well, it is nearly impossible for anyone to discern any movement in the young soldier's head or weapon. With the average age of 22, the young men and women ranked in the first class or specialist, they prepare to do this week in, week out, every day of the year. They become assigned to groups of heights. They have responsibility to take their shifts. Yet, somehow, all the sentinels seem to be the same height. They seem to be a little straighter than the average soldier and a bit prouder. Part of their reasoning and their appearance would come from the fact that they wear shoes that make them the same height. They're built up. But the buildup is not really just to make them the same height. It's so that they can have a clicking sound. That when they stop and perform their function, they make the same click at the same time. Even when more than one is there together, you will never hear more than one click as they walk together. And mostly, the thing that is reminded about them is that they are there 24/7, 7 days a week, every day of the month, every month of the year, performing that job, whether someone's watching or not. They take their jobs very seriously, and they walk in the same manner. You just don't walk the same way when it's your turn to guard the tomb. And beloved, we shouldn't walk the same way when it's our turn to guard the gospel of Jesus Christ. People ought to know us about how we live, because that's what the word walk means. And we ought to walk in such a manner that is befitting of the calling that we have. Paul goes on to say, worthy of the calling that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have a duty to perform accurately, succinctly, in a manner in which God has called us out of darkness and placed us into this marvelous light, this stage. And guess what? It's shining brighter and brighter today. Why? Because the darker it gets outside, what? The brighter we ought to shine because of Christ who's on the inside. And so Paul says, I urge you, I beg you to walk in a manner worthy of this call. And what he meant by that is that we ought to understand the significance of the salvation that we have in Christ. And that's what I talked about last week, and it was fitting that I got this word this week, is because it kind of connects to last week, because what a great salvation that we have that we didn't earn, that God just gave to us. He chose us, amen? Before the foundation of the world, there was nothing that we could do to earn the salvation that God gave us, but he gave it to us anyway. Despite who I am, he gave it to me. Despite the fact that he knew I was going to fall short, he gave it to me. Despite the fact that he knew I'm still going to mess up in my salvific state, he still gave it to me. That's a great salvation. And it's not no cheap grace. It cost him his very life. Just like they walk in front of that tomb, they walk in front of that tomb because they realize that the men and women that are buried there in that unknown tomb, they fought and gave the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. Yeah. And Jesus Christ gave his life for our freedom from the wrath to come. He said, and because he did that, Paul said, we ought to walk different. Yeah. Amen. See, you ought to have some pep in your step. You ought to be a distinguished, you ought to be a peculiar people. They ought not see us walking like the world walk, acting like the world act. Always focusing in on material things. God told us to what? It's time out for that. Let us focus on what? The heavenly things. Let us store up treasures in heaven. We get so consumed with materialism, we don't want to admit it, but we are. And that's why we have the differences. It's because of flesh and because of what we don't have and what somebody else might have. And you got the greatest thing you could ever have, and that's salvation in Jesus Christ. Despite all the things you want to have, you got that. And we ought to act like it by the way we live. So I want to give you three things, and I'm going to take my seat. I really mean that. I want to talk about how you're living. I used to watch a show called In Living Color.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all know, y'all ain't been saved all y'all life. Yeah. Homie Clown, all the boys to be on that. Come on now. And they used to always ask the question, how you're living? And that's what Paul is asking us now. Paul is saying, you ought to live like something. Look at the text. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord. Don't even step over that, because what you need to understand is Paul is actually in prison right now while he's writing this. Amen? He's in a Roman prison while he's actually writing this. And he wants you to know that guess what? When you follow the Lord, it's going to cost you something. Help me, somebody. And he was in prison. He said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. And here's the thing about it. See, he wasn't so focused on where he was physically, but he knew where his position was spiritually. Because even though he was in prison in Rome, he said, I'm a prisoner of Caesar. Amen. He said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. He knew that the only reason why he was there was because of the Lord. Caesar had no power over Paul. Caesar thought he brought Paul there for him. God sent Paul there for him. Amen. So they can get up all of in the house of Caesar. Some soldiers got saved while they were chained to Paul. Help me, somebody.
That's right.
They thought they were holding him captive, but he was holding them captive. Come on now. because of the way he lived, because of the way he walked his life. So he was a prisoner. He said, I'm a prisoner, but I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. See, what he's saying is he individualized that thing. He didn't say you got to walk like me. He said you weren't called to do things I did. He said walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have. So if I don't walk like you, that's okay. As long as I'm walking for Christ. He wants unity, not uniformity. And I can't walk like you. I got some peculiarities about me that don't set well with you sometimes. I understand. But I got to walk according to the calling which I have in Christ. And you have to walk in a manner befitting your calling in Christ Jesus. But we're all walking in Christ and we're all one. That's why I read John 17 to you. I want you to keep that in your mind. We're still one. We might just walk a little differently. But it's in Christ that we're walking. See, the word live was translated to walk. And the word walk was translated to live. And in the New Testament, walk is frequently used as a daily conduct, as to how you're supposed to live your life. And the word worthy there means live in such a manner that it matches your position in Christ. That's what worthy means. It doesn't mean that you're sinless. Amen. You're gonna slip up every now and then, you're gonna sin. And you know what I said, slip up. You're not sinning on purpose. Help me somebody, I hope not. But every now and then you're caught in the fall. Something overtook you. But you're walking worthy. And we can do this. Why? Because of who we serve. Just go up to chapter 3, same book. Look at verse 20 where it says, now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. We can actually do this thing if we put our mind, heart, and soul to this thing. Why? Because God has enabled us to be able to do this for him. You can walk worthy, amen? Because he said it right there. Philippians 4:13, help me, sister. Because look, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us to walk worthy, amen? It's all about Christ. Galatians 2:20, what? I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but what? Christ lives within me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who did what? Who loved me and gave himself just for me. We can walk worthy, church. God has empowered us.
Yes, indeed.
By the Spirit of God. That we are now, his prisoners, but we ought to be walking in a manner that's pleasing to him. Stop getting caught up on what everybody else doing. Amen? I got too much to worry about what I'm doing to worry about what somebody else doing. I can't be bumbling and bumbling. I got to focus in on what God has called me to do. And that is to live a life that's pleasing to him. We got to walk, church. We got to walk. And while we're yet walking, I just did that point for another 30 minutes, but we're not preaching for an hour anymore. We're preaching for 45 minutes. Help me, somebody. I would love to stay a little longer, but I got to go to the next point, because the next point is that while you are yet walking, which is living, why don't you love somebody? You have to love somebody. Amen. Live and love. Amen. Walking, living, love. It's right there in the text. I'm not making this up. He said that when you're walking and as you've been called, he said, look, with all what? Humility. with all gentleness, with all patience, bearing with one another, what? In love. He said, live like Christ and love like Christ. Amen. Amen? See, when we begin to understand that I'm supposed to love like Christ, all of a sudden, all the things that somebody else might do every now and then might not affect me the way it has been affecting me, because I'm walking worthy of the calling that I have in Christ Jesus. Well, what do you mean by this love? Well, he gave us a synopsis of it, of how we want to do it. He said, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It does not insist on its own way. Help me, somebody. It's not irritable. It's not resentful because somebody got something that I might want. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. He said, live worthy, but then love somebody. And then all of a sudden, somebody's Republican, that don't bother me. Somebody's a Democrat, that don't bother me. They might vote to my own, that doesn't bother me. Somebody's all for social justice, somebody's not for social justice. Let them love somebody despite where they are, what they believe in, what they do, as long as they believe in Jesus Christ. Let God do the changing in their life. We can't change nobody. And all this division, and I can't find anywhere in here. It says love with humility. Humble yourself. A lot of times pride creeps in and we don't even realize it. There's no lowliness in trying to show somebody what they're doing wrong all the time. Humility. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Gentleness. Meekness, that's not weakness. I can walk away from brother and they can be wrong, I can be right, I can be wrong, they can be, it doesn't make a difference. I can just walk away. You know why? Because I don't want to fuel this thing and get it to a point where my witness is, you know, see what I'm saying? That's meekness. I don't get anything out of proving somebody wrong. Gentle, humble, and hard. That describes Jesus. Therefore, as God has chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. And my next one, patience. I think we're running out of patience with people. Amen. I think we're running out of patience. We have this we want to call it righteous indignation. No, you're running out of patience. And God has given us a cup full of patience. Amen. It's part of the fruit that you get when you say. And he likes to call it long suffering. Amen. And the emphasis is on long. Because you don't know how long it's going to be. But you ought to be there to suffer with them. Long suffering. That's what love is all about, isn't it? He said love is patient. So don't tell me you're loving somebody if you're not going to be patient with them. And what God said is live worthy of the calling and love while you're doing it. And it said that bearing one another in love. It's letting you know that folk won't do things that they need help with, and you're supposed to be there to bear it with them. Why? Because you love like Christ. Do you know how long Christ suffered for me? Amen. I was 32 years of acting a fool out in the street before he brought me inside. I'd be 62 in another month and he's still suffering with me. Help me, somebody. And you tell me you tired of walking with a brother or a sister because they got a different thought than you got. I don't get that. I don't get that, then I'm going to say I'm Christ-like. I don't think that's walking worthy of the calling that we have in Christ Jesus. I think God wants us to come together in oneness and not find reasons to have 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 congregations out here all at one time because we think differently on certain issues, as long as we think together on Christ. I just think that the reason why we have denominations is because we got folk who just want to be in charge. Amen.
Amen.
They want to have their own thing. You think denomination started because of Christ? No way. There's no way in the Bible. It was because men, that's why men, not women. And they're all struggling. But somebody's in charge. But they don't realize it's God. There's only one person in charge, and it's God. And when we get that, and when we understand that, all of a sudden, we can live a life worthy of the calling, and we can love and humility and gentleness, and with all suffering. But we bear with each other until we get this thing right. Or at least halfway right until Christ comes back. Help me, somebody. And beloved, if we do that, if we live and we love, we can let live. Amen. If we live and we love, we can let live. And that's what Paul is saying here. Look what he says here in the last part. What? We're going to love another because what? Because we're eager. We're endeavoring to what? To maintain the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. What he's saying was that everybody's not going to be the same, but guess what? We still want. In the spirit. You get that? He says, we're endeavoring to maintain the unity. I'm not looking for a reason to split. I'm looking for a reason to come together. Amen. I'm eager to do that. I'm endeavoring to do that. If that means I got to give up something that does not affect the solus, huh? Some of y'all are tulip, huh? And for some of y'all to bring that really, he's up a salvation. Amen. If it's not a salvation issue, doesn't affect anything about Christ, God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. I can do that. I can work with the brother. I can let him have that. I can let her have that. Because it's about the unity of the Spirit. And there's a oneness there that God has placed there and ordained for it to be that way. And in that oneness, when we let someone live, people say, well, why? When you can get to a point of God? Because Christ has done it. No greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. John 15, 13. And that was the love he showed us. And that's the love we'll be able to show somebody else. That's where we're trying to get to. Why? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Why? Because there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, we ought to walk together in love. It's all about oneness. It's one God, one Spirit, one baptism. And so when we get to a point where, again, people don't understand your politics, don't talk politics if it's going to cause you to divide. You have your political view, let them have their political view. And people say, no, well, you got to know. You don't have to force no one to do anything. But believe in Christ with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength so that they can be saved. There's not going to be any Democrats, Republicans in heaven. Y'all will be independent. Tell me somebody. It's not a political thing up there. People say, well, up there we're not gonna have any race. There's no race here. That's why people get confused. People think there's a race. Well, no, there's a white race, a black race. No, those are not races. Those are ethnicities. There's only one race, is the human race. We all have the same set of parents. It's called Adam and Eve. And if y'all came from the same family, you're all a part of the same race. And guess what? That's saved and unsaved.
That's right.
Amen? Only two. So it's not a race issue. It's not. It's a preference, and it's all these other things we want to put in there. But if you can put Christ there, and they can put Christ there, we can find a way to get along. And we can move further together than we will ever move apart. And so we have to get to a point where we're endeavoring to maintain or to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You know what the bond of peace is? It's Christ. He's the Prince of Peace. Amen?
Amen.
He's the one who actually got to a point where what? There is no more enmity between us and God. Why? Because Christ is our peace, and we're in Christ, and that means we now have a relationship with the Father through the Spirit of God. It's in Christ. And so when you get to a point where you have another brother who actually believes in Christ and we can't have peace together, one of us might not believe in Christ when we think we believe in Christ. And so we have to get to a point where we actually put the main thing. And then you can have your differences in the other thing, but it should not focus on you dividing. Whether they join your cause or they don't, guess what? They still want. And you can't stop that. Whether they vote the way you vote or they don't vote the way you vote, guess what? If they're in Christ, they still want. And you can't stop that. Whether they ever think like you or I or we think like them, it doesn't matter, because they're still in Christ and we are still one. And if we divide over those types of things, I believe we grieve the Spirit of God. Because Christ wants us to be one. And so how do I make that a reality today? Well, the things that we're dealing with here at the Oakland Baptist Church, as we are now sharing this sanctuary with the Ethiopian congregation, guess what? They speak a different language than we do. Amen. They believe in Christ. They might have a few minor doctrinal differences, but guess what? We still want. And we will allow them to use this sanctuary. You know why? Because it really doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Christ.
Thank you.
And so they'll be here and they will be worshiping the Lord, just so you all will know that. Amen. And what you should pray for them. Whether we continue our dialogue with First Baptist Church, or if we don't, amen, because of social justice issues or whatever, it doesn't preclude the fact that we are still one. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ, even though they think differently. They have different cultural things. They got different backgrounds. It doesn't make a difference. We're still one. Still one. And we shouldn't just stop with them. We got Anglicans around the corner. We got Methodists down the street. We have Presbyterians around the corner. And guess what? Even though we have some doctrinal differences, they believe in Christ and we are still one. And we ought to understand that and walk worthy, live in a manner pleasing to God. And for my beloved sisters and brothers who are watching this via Facebook and Zoom, guess what? Whether the Lord ever leads you to ever come back into this sanctuary, and those of you who are here, praise God for you. But guess what? Just because they're there and you are here, we're still one. Yet we're still one. Nobody's more special than anybody else. We are still one. We will continue to love each other. We will continue to serve each other, bear with each other in love, and we will work this thing out. Why? Because we're still one. And we as elders can't put anything out here and tell you that on a specific day, that guess what? It's time for you to come back. You can only come back when the Lord tells you to come back. Don't ever let anybody tell you what you can and cannot do. You're free in Christ. And when the Lord brings you back, he'll bring you back, and you'll know it's time to come back. But I want you to understand one thing. We are one. Amen?
Amen.
Those are the things that God laid on my heart. We got to come to a point where we realize all this other stuff is just a tool of Satan to keep us separate. And he sits back and laughs at us because we're talking about stuff that has nothing to do with salvation. And all of a sudden, I can't talk to my brother and sister. That's crazy. When I can love them and they can love me, and maybe through our love, we come to get together and we start to listen to each other better. And all of a sudden, things begin to make sense to me and to them. Because we realize that we're in this thing together. And it's not about us. And I always have to ask myself two questions. And when I answer these two questions, it helped me to crystallize in the direction I should go. The first thing I have to ask myself is, what am I trying to prove? What am I saying? If I'm trying to prove something, I'm off kilter. I always ask that. I said, what? I said, Hayes, what are you trying to prove? And when I get down and I hunker down and say, well, they should. All of a sudden, the Lord says, see, I just want you to see yourself in that mirror of the Word of God. Because see, what the Bible tells in the book of Romans in the second chapter is whatever I'm accusing them of, I wind up doing the exact same thing. Read Romans 2. It's there. It says, when I accuse somebody of something, he says, basically, I wind up doing the exact same thing. And so I am without excuse. So what am I trying to prove? That I can do this? I look better. No. When I realize that if I'm trying to prove something, I'm off kilter. Second question I ask myself is, who am I trying to please?
Yeah.
See? What am I trying to prove? And who am I trying to please? And when I answer the second question, if it's not Christ, I'm off kilter. And if I say I'm trying to please Christ, then I got to come back to this. And I got to go to John 17. And he said, I'm more. And anything I do outside of that, I'm not trying to please Christ, I'm trying to please myself. And when I know that, God hopefully will chasten me and get me back on the right path to realize I have nothing to prove. Because I don't have anything. Everything I have came from Christ. So I have nothing to prove. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And everything I do should please Christ.
Amen.
And if I can't answer it that way, I know I'm off base. And when I answer the right way, God is telling me I got to work and check myself.
Amen.
Get to a point where I realize that it's got to be about him.
Amen.
I'll leave you with this. Last part. I wasn't going to go there, but since I got 2 minutes left. Colossians. Colossians 3. Where are you, Colossians? I wasn't going to go there, but I don't have it on my Bible. Just give me a few seconds. I'm going to find it. General Electric Power Company. Hey. Old things from New One of Life keep coming back to me. General Electric Power Company. Where is Colossians 3? All right, Colossians 3. And just listen to these words. And remember, I want you to understand John 17. I want you to read that. Colossians 3, 11 through 15 says this. Here, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarians, Scythians, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. So put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. It keeps going, doesn't it? Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. And above all, these put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called. Look, in one body. And he said, but be thankful. Isn't that a blessing? I don't have to preach. All I have to just read the word of God. It's right there. Be thankful. We're all one body. Let them have their differences. But we ought to live in a manner that's worthy of the calling that we have. We ought to love in a manner that Christ would love. And we ought to let live. Why? Because we're endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Live, love, let live. Father, we thank you for your word. Such a time as this, when people are dividing over all